Our reading this morning, as Nikki mentioned, is from Philippians 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known among everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Governments are in transition. Wars are in progress. The interconnected web of life on this planet is actively under threat. And as I talked about last week, it's not clear whether or to what degree you and I can steer the course of history. And in addition to this baseline of uncertainty and structural danger, there's just an enormous amount of human suffering. We know this from the news, that people are suffering all around the world, from war and tumult and migration and all sorts of insecurity. We also know from looking around our neighborhoods that our neighbors are suffering. We see homeless encampments and people digging through the trash for resources. We see the zoned out, exhausted expressions of people on public transit, or at least I do. We can sense just by looking around that there's a real struggle happening, not just overseas, but in our neighborhood. And of course, the truth is that also the struggle is not just for other people, right? It's not just poor, unfortunate souls out there who are having a tough time while you and I are doing great. During the pandemic and its aftermath, I personally have suffered tremendously from anxiety. And I know that many of us have experienced that. Many of us have struggled with health problems, strained relationships, and economic difficulties. Some of us have lost jobs, moved to a new home, and even fled oppressive governments to find freedom in a new country. The last few years haven't been easy for any of us. And I think we can all sense that the coming years might be at least equally challenging. You know all that, but I mention it because I think it's important context for the text that we're reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians. We learn in this letter that the church in Philippi was the original church that supported Paul's ministry back when no one else really believed in him yet. The church in Philippi was economically and spiritually sustaining Paul. And now in this letter that's been preserved and passed down to us, he writes from a prison in Rome to encourage the church at Philippi. And it's getting pretty serious in Rome. Paul's in chains. And in his letter to the Philippians, Paul makes some comments that indicate he might not make it out of this situation alive. In fact, we know in retrospect that Paul never does leave Rome. He ends up being martyred by the Roman authorities. So Paul's in big trouble. And yet, even in the midst of his imprisonment, his focus is on others. He writes to the Philippians to thank them for the gifts and support that they've sent him in his time of need. He seeks to encourage them in the struggles that they themselves are facing. The church at Philippi wasn't having an easy time of it either. To be a Christian in the mid-first century, just a few decades after the resurrection, was to be potentially facing real persecution and even violence. And I think about the anxiety that I've faced in the last few years, worries about my health and my children's health, my job security, and the state of the world in general. And I think about what it must have been like to be Paul or one of the brothers and sisters at the church at Philippi. I feel like I have a lot to worry about, but they clearly had a lot more to worry about. And this is significant to me because in the context, this is the context that Paul reminds his friends and fellow ministers of the words of Jesus. He doesn't say he's quoting Jesus, but he's quoting Jesus. He says, "Don't worry about anything." And it's in this time of darkness and fear and risk and anxiety for the church in Philippi and for Paul himself, who's on the road to martyrdom, that he encourages his friends to rejoice in the Lord always. And he repeats it, "Again, I will say, rejoice." He tells the Christians at Philippi to let their gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. It's because the Lord is near that they don't need to worry about anything. Instead, they're to live their lives in prayer and supplication, trusting that God will provide for them and guide them, despite all the danger, despite all the risk and anxiety. Paul promises the church at Philippi that if they cleave to God, if they put their trust in Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think a lot about what it means that the early church, the folks that Paul was writing to, and the early Quakers too, had a faith in Jesus that they considered to be worth dying for. Right? One of the things that distinguished Quakers from most of the other dissenting groups in 17th century England was that when laws came out saying you will be put in prison if you keep worshiping apart from the Church of England and in your dissident ways, most groups went underground and had hidden worship. But the Quakers still met in public and got arrested. And I think about a faith like that, a faith worth going to prison for, a faith worth dying for, an experience of the Spirit and the truth of the gospel that were so important to them that they were not only willing to die, but in some cases, especially in the early church, eager to die. They were eager to die to show their faith and spread the good news to others. This was actually a tactic of the early church. They sort of said, "Bring it on." And to be honest, right now, that's hard for me to imagine on a personal level, saying, "Bring on the suffering. It's going to be so great when people see it." That's not the church I've lived in. Being a Christian in the United States has always been, at least potentially, a very easy path. We're free to worship. We're free to believe in the gospel. We're free to practice our faith without fear. And even when we get disruptive, and some Christians have in our lifetimes, I think of folks like the Plowshares movement that, you know, took their own blood and put it in protest on nuclear weapons to call for nuclear disarmament. Even when we get disruptive in extreme ways as the church, the consequences are usually not that dire. Even in the worst cases, we're talking years in prison, not martyrdom, right? I don't romanticize the days of the early church or the early Quaker movement and their exposure to life and death decisions. I don't want to be put in the position to be martyred. I'm not going to seek that out. But it definitely puts things in perspective. And I wonder what my life would look like if I were living in the same spirit as the Apostle Paul, who, while imprisoned in Rome and facing death, was writing letters encouraging his brothers and sisters at Philippi and presumably other places not to worry, but to pray and ask for what they needed from God with thanksgiving in their hearts. I'm personally hungry for the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, that Paul promises will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus if I will trust him. I'm hungry to know the Spirit and truth that the Lord is indeed near, that I can trust God because he's present and acting. I need encouragement that even though I can't see it right now, Jesus has won and will win the victory over sin and death and the devil. And if I can believe that, if I can trust in that, that Jesus has already won the victory over sin and death and the devil, then he has certainly already won the victory over my anxiety, over the things that scare me, over the challenges that I face, and that we face as a community. I long to say with the prophet Isaiah, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." And this is a really cool thing about Paul, because Paul is able to say this in his letter to the Philippians. It's Paul's knowledge that God is his salvation, that he can trust in God and not be afraid, that allows him to face danger and even death with a sense of joy and confidence. Sometimes I wonder if I've not been challenged enough. For all my personal struggles, anxiety, and worry, sometimes I wonder whether my life has been just hard enough to make me miserable, but not hard enough to push me to the point that I need to fully rely on God. In the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, he says, "Lead us not into the time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one." And I pray that line of the prayer without hesitation, because I don't want to be brought to the time of trial. I don't want to be tested. But trials are sure to come one way or another. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, has given us a clue as to how we can face these trials with a sense of abundance, confidence, and a deep reservoir of spiritual groundedness. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." This joy, this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is not something that we can produce ourselves. But it is something that we can pray for and open ourselves to. God is here, and God is faithful. As we enter into a time of open worship, let's welcome the Holy Spirit to come and work on our hearts and help us become people who can rejoice in the Lord always, letting our gentleness be known to everyone, because the Lord is near.